The following show is closed captioned for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
I've asked a question many times over the years that I've been doing this show. By the way, this show in its current form turns 10 years old September 20th, Jason. Time does fly. Here's the question that I've asked many times. What is the right amount to pay an employee? Well, oftentimes people go, well, you can't answer that. It depends. What's their experience? What's the job? So on, so on, so on. No, there is a universal right answer. What is the right amount to pay an employee? It's referred to as the going rate. You have to pay them at least enough so they don't go. The right amount of paying employees, the amount of money that you have to pay them to keep them. Now, you may decide to reward excellence. Nothing wrong with that. But that's what you pay an employee. How much you have to pay them to keep them. Bear that in mind with the discussion of minimum wage. This is at Wright, Wisconsin. If you're not aware, there actually is in Milwaukee County now a living wage, ordinance that was passed? Yeah. There's no longer any uncertainty. Milwaukee County taxpayers will have to spend nearly $2 million more for janitorial services because of the county's big labor-influenced living wage. The Milwaukee County Finance Personnel and Audit Committee yesterday approved a resolution by a 7-0 vote guaranteeing the next firm chosen to clean specific county facilities will have to pay their employees a wage of at least $11.32 an hour. The resolution presented by Supervisor David Bowen, who wrote that the local living wage ordinance with help from Service Employees International Union Affiliated Officials, SEIU, Ultra Liberal Group, requires several county agencies to reissue a request for proposal for housekeeping services at about 15 government buildings. The resolution was revised after several board members raised questions over whether companies could sidestep paying the minimum wage of $11.32 an hour if those RFPs, request for proposal, went out prior to May 19th, the day the living wage takes effect. Supervisor Theodore Lipscomb's amendment, which also passed 7-0, ensures the firms will have to comply with the new living wage ordinance regardless of the date the RFP is issued. The Milwaukee County Department of Administration Services had asked supervisors to lock in a $3.4 million deal with Clean Power, private janitorial firm in Wauwatosa, before May 19th because of the additional burden to taxpayers. The living wage is expected to add $1.98 million in housekeeping costs over the next 3 years, according to a fiscal analysis by the Milwaukee County Comptroller Scott Mansky. So here's what the living wage does for Milwaukee County taxpayers. Over the next 3 years, they now have to pay $2 million more for the same service. But in this case, you don't have to worry about a bottom line. You're just taking it from taxpayers. Forcing employers to go from paying, be it minimum wage or $8 or $9, to $10.10 an hour or $11 an hour or whatever, without getting any additional value from that employee, is going to be a tremendous burden on that company because they can't just go raise more taxes. They have to raise their prices, which impacts their business. This is so elementary that people do not see this. Arbitrarily, and that's what this is, arbitrarily paying someone more to do the same job. Now let me say this about that. If they aren't keeping people, then, as I said, that's the benchmark. Then you're not paying enough. Is that true? Have they had problems keeping quality employees? If they haven't, then this shows the folly in doing this. And by the way, this is going to continue to be a push because, sadly, opinion polls show that it is a winner for liberals. Because, as the Right Wisconsin piece points out, it's other people's money. Even when it's in the private sector. There are people who want to feel better about themselves. Well, I don't meet a payroll. So if someone else is going to make $12 an hour or $10 an hour or whatever, yeah, I'm okay with that. Seemingly oblivious to the impact on the economy and even to themselves. Then there's this one. We talked about this a little bit. This is actually a pretty big deal. Somali-born Ayan Hirsi Ali is an author, former European lawmaker, and former Muslim. She's become famous exposing Islam's treatment to women. Misogyny. Horrible things. However, in this country, her message has been translated by the mainstream media into hatred of Muslims and Islam. That's the way she is perceived, even though her message is feminist. Recently, Brandeis University was going to bestow upon her an honorary degree, and after they suddenly found what she wrote about Islam, they rescinded that invitation. Kirsten Powers, who is a liberal Fox News analyst, but has her moments, has a moment here in a piece in USA Today. I want to share it with you because this is really mind-boggling. Powers, liberals attack female fighting misogyny. War on Women alert. One of the most forceful fighters against misogyny in the modern era is under attack. Somali-born Ayan Hirsi Ali has been a vocal critic of women's oppression under Islamic law. She's blasted arranged marriage, legally sanctioned domestic violence, genital mutilation, and the killing of adulteresses and rape victims. Despite being a supporter of abortion rights, an atheist, and an advocate of gay and women's rights, she is despised by many who claim to be defenders of women's rights. Over the years, they've worked to delegitimize her in the hopes that she will be silenced. The latest effort was a successful campaign to pressure Brandeis University into withdrawing its offer of an honorary degree. Her offense? Expressing the wrong opinions. She was raised Muslim. As a five-year-old, she was forced into genital mutilation. I'm going to be frank here. Do people know what that means? What Muslim genital mutilation is? Do you know what we're talking about here? A clitorectomy. That's what we're talking about. She was forced into that at age five. At one point, she was beaten by a religious teacher until a rib broke. At 22, she fled a forced marriage for the Netherlands, where she became a member of parliament. While there, she made a movie critical of Islam's treatment of women with her friend Theo van Gogh. For this, he was murdered by an Islamic fanatic. The killer stabbed a note into his chest addressed to Hirsi Ali. It promised her death. Yet she continued to speak out. But I'm doing this because I think that if I do, there will be less honor killings. Fewer little girls undergoing female genital mutilation like I did, she told the Washington Post 7 years ago. In her bestseller, Infidel, she recalled her time in Saudi Arabia, where she could hear the cries of neighborhood women being legally beaten by their husbands. But this life experience is no match for the expertise of liberal Westerners who seem to believe that the problem is that she just doesn't know how to keep her mouth shut. In reviewing her book, Nomad, Nicholas Kristof lamented that Hirsi Ali denounces Islam with a ferocity that I find strident. Her memoir suggests that she never quite outgrew her rebellious teenager phase. Yes, if only she would be more demure in describing her own opposition. That's the sarcasm of Kirsten Powers. Yeah, if only she'd be more demure in describing her own oppression. Guardian columnist Emma Brockes complained that in criticizing Islam, Hirsi Ali is startlingly direct and is deliberately, almost narcissistically, provocative. But then Kirsten Powers points out the double standard. Yet, when author Anne Rice, the Vampire Chronicle, or was it Diaries? Chronicles? Announced she had quit Christianity because it was anti-gay, anti-feminist, and anti-science, Brockus only wanted to know what took her so long. Speaking of startlingly direct, Rice said, I began to really study Catholicism and I found it was not an honorable religion, that it was not honest. So Powers concludes, so, condemning the Catholic Church and Christianity broad brush is heroic, but a woman who breaks with and criticizes Islam is a mouthy, immature narcissist who must be silenced. Got it. Great piece by Kirsten Powers yesterday, USA Today. Why do you think that is? Now, go back to her liberal resume here. Ali's a liberal in all, just about all cultural issues. She supports abortion rights. She's atheist. She supports gay and women rights. And she is despised. She is despised by the left. All of this trumps, I should say all of that is trumped by the fact that she's critical of Islam. Here's a question for you. Why? Why for the left is the defense of Islam put above all of those things? She's not a conservative. What she's fighting in Islam should make her the president of the National Organization for Women. And she's lockstep liberal on all of the other issues. So despite her obvious liberal bona fides, why for liberals is she toxic because of Islam? I ask this not rhetorically. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. What is it about criticizing Islam that is so anathema to liberals that you can hold every other staunch liberal cultural position, pro-abortion, pro-gay rights, everything, she's an atheist, everything you can think of. Yet Brandeis University was so pressured by liberals that they disinvited her from an honorary degree. This is really very easy. We have no takers on this. What do I have to do? Bribe them with Brewers tickets? Fine, I've got Brewers tickets. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Boy, nobody wants to try this. Jason, do you have a guess on this? This is one of those things where if you think this is difficult, you're overthinking this. That email is wrong, by the way. We have an email guess on it that is wrong. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. I have a four-pack of Brewers tickets for a game later this season to the first person that gets this right. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. The liberal pressure against her was so intense that Brandeis University revoked the invitation. And as Powers points out, the same liberal media pundits that criticized her for being too strident in her opposition to Islam have no problem with people attacking Catholicism. Anne Rice. This is, I think, by the way, there are a couple of answers that I will accept here. Lloyd in Cribbets. Lloyd, what do you think?
Well, I read the book, United in Hate, and that's the conclusion that the author, I can't remember his name, but that's the conclusion he came up with, that the, I don't know if it's a godless thought process that goes into it, but they are united in concept of awareness of life, which requires them to hate the same things.
I'm not sure I even understand that, Lloyd. So I'm gonna let you go. I think you're getting a little. That's way too deep. Bill in Little River. Bill, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Jerry.
Morning.
I have a guess. You know, they can praise people who criticize Christianity without fear because our founder, you know, said to love those that hate us and you know, to turn the other cheek and stuff. But Muslims, if you criticize them, they'll kill you.
Are you a Brewers fan, Bill?
Yes, I am.
Good, because you're going to a Brewers game.
Fabulous.
That is exactly right. They're scared crapless of the Muslims. That's what this is fear. This is abject fear. They know that if you criticize Islam, there could very well be retribution. Was it Bill Maher? Bill, I don't remember. There was a comedian that admitted it. And I can't I can't remember who it was. That is exactly right. Don't go anywhere, okay? Jason needs some information from you.
Sure thing. Thank you.
That's exactly right. They're terrified. They are just terrified. They know that they can criticize. They can absolutely bash Christianity because Christians, for the most part, don't blow you up if you criticize them. That's why. It's 9:22.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.